Christopher Tofton, CDMP, the Minister of Health and Wellness.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Let me begin by apologizing for the late start, or late arrival, I should say, which facilitated a late start, and also say that I have Parliament at 2 and a 1:30 meeting, so I will make up for the time. How is that? And you sound like you're hungry too, right? Because it's lunchtime now. So it may work out for all. That's good. Just to dispense with the pleasantries, let me say how happy I am to be here, and in particular to see the diverse numbers of persons representing different organizations, the ministry, of course, across regions, I would imagine, Dr. Humphreys, and of course corporate, but also the representation from other ministries and organizations. Good to see the Customer Service Association, that's the correct name, and the Ministry of Finance person who may have left, and all others who are here. I want to also just recognize Dr. Humphreys and his department. You can see that he's a very passionate man, right? Speaks with a lot of feeling. Make sure when him speak, you have a handkerchief, as you said, to hand him, you know, because he says what he believes, that he believes what he says, and it's certainly projected that way. So that's good. But I want to recognize him and his team, because you may or may not know that this is a new organization, new unit or division within the Ministry of Health and Wellness. And it was created for the purpose of, among other things, enhancing the patient experience, the client experience. And there is an entire ecosystem around that. The reality is that health has always had the fundamental principles captured around customer service, captured in the patient charter of rights and responsibilities. That is an age-old document that we have encouraged to be put up on the walls of health centers and hospital waiting areas, so that at the very least patients would have knowledge of what their rights are, but also importantly what their responsibilities are, because the two have to go hand in hand. I mean, we're not going to take abuse while we administer care, but we have an obligation to recognize that patients who come into the health system are in distress, and we're going to have to be as accommodating, and therapy really should start at the gate, not on the prescription pad. So the fundamental principles have been there articulated, and indeed, as Dr. Humphreys said, I'm not as emotional as him in my expression, but we have made progress. You know, this morning I was on a radio program, and they were asking me pointedly, the journalist, the reporter, how do I deal with a patient complaint, patient who wait 2 days on a chair, or 3 days, a patient who is spoken to in a particular way that is offensive by a health personnel, a frontline staff. How do I deal with that? And I took the time within the limitations of the interview to explain that there is an entire system that is in place where a patient can, first of all, speak to the customer service rep. We have populated the different health systems with customer service reps now. Hospital health centers, they are supposed to be on the floor, where if that doesn't work, they can ramp that up to a supervisor. Where if it doesn't get what they want, they can move it to the region, right? For regional health authorities. And then, of course, corporate, Dr. Humphrey's unit. And that line of communication is there, because there's a phone number in the waiting area that you can call, et cetera, et cetera. So there is a system. There is a system. The reason why this department was so important is because, to be totally frank, the system has not worked as effectively as we want it to work. Now, I also said that if you consider the number of persons who interface with the health system each year, last year I spoke in the Parliament yesterday and said we had just under 3 million visits, not people, but visits. about 1.5 million or so, 1.5 plus to health centers, and just under that to hospitals. Well, actually, it's probably 1.3 or so to hospitals. So we actually have more people, more visits to health centers than hospitals, which is good, by the way. We're shifting to the primary system as opposed to the hospital. People are seeking more prevention and minimal curative services than waiting until they have emergencies. So the policy is working. But when you look at that and you look at inpatient care, maybe about 200,000 Jamaicans spend 5 days or less in a hospital. And then you place on top of that some 24,000 healthcare workers who, from one reason or the other, you included in this room, but the doctor, the nurse, the administrator, the security man out of the gate, or whatever. For the most part, a Jamaican going to a public health facility is served and they leave with a level of satisfaction. The challenge is that it only takes one to have a problem. Sorry about the finger. It's the wrong finger, so it's fine. Right? It only takes one to have a challenge, and if they feel aggrieved sufficiently and there is no recourse, whether by virtue of ignorance or by virtue of not pursuing it or by virtue of pursuing it and not getting a response sufficiently, then there is a culture in all of us, and I suspect it's human nature, that the way to do it is to blow it up. You call the media house, you call the TV, you go on social media, especially with free media, now everybody is a journalist and an expert on everything. And so it requires, the point I'm making, and then because of the way the environment has evolved and because of a kind of tradition of bad service for too many persons, not all, but too many, there is almost a default mode around how we protest the lack of service. And there was a need for Dr. Humphrey's unit in order to drive greater concentration and focus in changing that culture. And one of the first challenges I throw out to Dr. Humphrey's unit is to ensure that the enabling environment in health and client services, some of these units have such long names, I have to look up them to repeat them, right? One of the reasons why I'm encouraged is that the first challenge we need to do is to work to change the mindset of people who interface with the system to appreciate that there is recourse within the infrastructure of health, and they should seek to take advantage of the recourse that they have before they decide to go on social media and start to broadcast a bad experience, because that may be the only bad experience for the entire month. And what it does, it really undermines the confidence in the institution just by broadcasting that bad experience. Now, every experience is a personal experience. So in a sense, you have to appreciate that people don't care that 99 out of 100 get a good experience. They only care about the bad one that they experience. It's their experience that. The burden, therefore, lies with us to really try to have a 100% good experience, or alternately, an appreciation that if there's a bad experience, I can find some sort of remedy. You get the point I'm making? And it's going to require an important cultural shift in the mindset, where from people enter the gate of a health center or a hospital, there is a listening ear, there is almost an automatic setup for response, even if people are disappointed. So take the weight issue that we talk about, weight experience. We have to get the people who use health systems to appreciate that you won't eliminate weight. I suspect that's why we have the name here, right? Weight experience. Weight is almost as night follows day. The extent of weight, and by the way, that happened in the bank, it happened at the tax office, it happened at the supermarket. People line up, people wait. And depending on the time of day and the time of week, people wait. Now, when it comes to sickness, it's a different kind of weight. People wait in anxiety, with uncertainty, and even if it's a headache, they think it's a brain tumor until the doctor says otherwise, right? We have to now appreciate, which is my second point to this group led by Dr. Humphreys, that we always have to use the customer's perspective as the benchmark for how we respond and develop a culture that says every customer that comes in, every client that comes in, is of the view that either them or the relative that they carry is on the verge of death, even when they only need a placebo. It's a heavy burden to bear, trust me. It's a heavy burden to bear. I get the WhatsApp every day, and people are irate. And when you do a little bit of digging, one little clarification would have solved the problem. One somebody talking to them would have solved the problem. But because of a lack of that, the system is wicked and horrible, and everybody gets a bad name. And I get that. I get it every day. I mean, my phone number is like public knowledge. So you have to start in terms of your approach to solving this problem by appreciating where we're coming from, where we are, and what the mindset of the players involved, where that mindset is and how you respond to that mindset in changing it, changing how people think. People must feel that they have recourse if they don't get what they want. And that must happen as automatic. And you have to drill that in through communication, public education, training, whatever it is. Because otherwise they're going to seek recourse elsewhere. And they are coming from a perspective of being in distress. And therapy starts with just listening and responding. The other point I want to raise is that the people who are administering the patient service, the client service, also have to have that mindset and that environment where they feel that their role in administering that service is respected, protected, and in a sense treated with some levels of equal rights. I don't want to say equal rights and justice, right? So your unit has to now see the staff welfare component of your mandate as a critical part for administering efficient service. If you don't have a staff bathroom that works, don't expect the customer service rep to be looking about the patient bathroom, because they're going to say, okay, so what happened to me? This is my home away from home. And one of the things that we're going to be promulgating in a big way this year is the welfare of staff, a staff lounge, you know, a place to have their lunch. And we're making it standard now across the board. And this is not about the staff, but if you have disgruntled staff, it's unlikely they're going to administer good customer care. It's automatic, right? And so you leadership is going to have to take control of that. I go to the hospitals a lot of times, and when the staff don't complain about their problems, I don't know how they face the patient and administer good care. And I tell the managers of hospitals, you cannot have staff working 24-hour cycles, and they don't have a lounge. They don't have a microwave. They don't have a refrigerator to warm up their lunch. They don't have a commissary they can go eat a salad or a sandwich rather than deep-fried chicken and whatever else. It goes hand in hand, and you have to find that formula that says we're all in this thing together, and we're all administering. So, because stress in health is almost a constant feature because of the nature of the work that we do, particularly when we have spikes in illnesses and so on. So I think it's going to be very important. Now, once you do that, the other point is that we have to hold people accountable now. I mean, accountability means a lot.